The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with my sweet daughter, Valerie. Thanks, Valerie, for being with us.
Thank you.
You are a pastor's wife and the mother of 7 children so far. One of the questions that is sometimes asked about pastors' wives is, how can you develop friendships in your church? Is it not likely to lead to jealousy?
It definitely does lead to jealousy among some of the members. For a time, we were advised by other pastors and their wives that we shouldn't develop any close friends within our church body because it always caused problems among the other members. And for a time, we tried to do that. We have a couple of times fallen into relationships where we didn't recognize in our naivete, we didn't recognize that the couple was trying to control us by having us be their friends and wanting us to be their close friends. And because they began to always invite us over late at night when we could get a babysitter, they would expect us to stay late into the evening, 11:30 or 12, and we began to realize that they were taking too much of our time. And so my husband was clear with them that we couldn't do that anymore, and they got their feelings hurt. And we've struggled with this whole area of whether to have close friends. We now think it's a good thing to have close friends in the church and not to worry about other people's jealousies. Of course, we want to treat everybody equally in the church. It's impossible to treat everybody as close friends. If we do spend a special amount of time with one couple, we don't talk about it with the other couples unless we know that that other couple would really understand what was going on and wouldn't feel the jealousy. With my own friendships, I've had a hard time at church on a Sunday morning just trying to be equal to everybody and trying to ignore somebody that I might have had especially a close conversation with. Not ignore her, but act towards her the same way I act towards everybody so that other women aren't watching and saying, well, she's pretty close to her. And we've just found that people like to be close friends with their pastor and his wife, and they like to say to other people that they're pretty close with them. So we have to be careful about how we talk about the people in our church, and again, treating them equally and loving everybody and trying to be hospitable to everybody. It's a constant struggle, and making sure that we spend the amount of time that we should with the couples God wants us to spend time with. And so often Walt and I have felt guilty that we haven't had so-and-so over, and we haven't had so-and-so over, and we haven't had, and we've just realized more and more that we have to pray about this. We have to ask God to show us who he wants us to have over.
I think that it's very clear that you don't just struggle. You don't just struggle with your family and with your marriage and with your church. You pray.
Yes.
Such a simple answer, isn't it? And you and I would be accused of being simplistic. Mm. Oh, well, that's not the answer. What we really need is counseling.
Mm. Well, I haven't ever felt the need for counseling except what God would counsel me to do and what my husband would counsel me to do. There have been things that I've had questions about that I felt immediately God was saying, go and ask your husband what he thinks. And that has been very helpful to me, very freeing.
As far as being a pastor's wife, I would think that by far the most difficult situation must have been when you first married Walt.
Mm-hmm.
You were in Louisiana, in mm-hmm. Cajun country, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where people are very
clannish
or cliquish, and he had 3 different churches.
Mm-hmm.
How did you manage? You were a northerner, your husband was a southerner.
I would say the first year that we were married, I didn't manage very well being a hospitable, loving pastor's wife. I spent most of that year feeling sorry for myself because they weren't hospitable to us. And we learned a big lesson the second year that we were there. I had our first child the second year. It suddenly dawned on us that every Sunday we'd been going home feeling sorry for ourselves because nobody invited us over. And it suddenly dawned on us one Sunday that we ought to have people over to our house, and then we wouldn't feel sorry for ourselves. And we began to do that, and what a joy it was to start being hospitable instead of expecting other people to be hospitable to us. I would say that first year I didn't feel it, but I realized it later that a lot of people were resentful that I, as a Yankee, was there, and I was taking more time with Walt than they were able to have with him, because he had been a pastor for a whole year before we got married to those three churches, and so they had had him as their pastor do whatever they wanted him to do. I mean, he would go visiting late at night with people, and they loved it, and they would feed him, and then when I came along, he couldn't spend as much time out. He wanted to be at home with his wife, and people really were resentful, and I couldn't understand that at all the first year we were there, but we did learn to start putting hospitality into practice, and that really helped us to get out of feeling sorry for ourselves. I didn't have any close friends at all the first 3 or 4 years of our pastoring. I was pretty reserved and quiet, and people were afraid of me, I think not only as a northerner, but maybe because of me being the daughter of Elizabeth and Jim Elliott. Some of them, of course, had heard the story, and I was thankful to be married, knew that that's where I was supposed to be, knew that it was God's will for me to be in Louisiana and Mississippi, but I had no idea of what serving other people and loving other people meant.
So it's back to that prayer of St. Francis that we were mentioning one time, teach me not so much to seek to be consoled,
as to console.
And I really believe that that is a spiritual principle that works out every time. Mm-hmm. It's in Isaiah 58:10. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you pour yourself out for the hungry, then God will satisfy your needs,
right,
and you will become like a watered garden, mm-hmm, whose springs fail not. Mm-hmm. And it's therapy.
Right.
But that shouldn't be our motivation.
No.
The therapy, the motivation should be the love of God. Mm-hmm. We reach out to other people rather than expecting people to reach out, mm-hmm, to us. And since you mentioned this whole difference between northerners and southerners, I'm married to a southerner myself, mm-hmm, although Lars is a Norwegian. Mm-hmm. For the first 10 years of his life, he grew up in southern Norway. He also spent a lot of time in Mississippi and Georgia. And I know that that's been hard, mm-hmm, for Lars to realize that because I'm a northerner, I do have a certain amount of reserve that just comes out of my culture, mm-hmm, out of my background. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Norway, I discovered that he was even more reserved than I was. When he went to Norway, he becomes Norwegian. Mm. And I remember when those two men lived in my house, and some of our listeners don't know that story, but I took two students from the seminary into my house, and the first one married you, and the second one married me. They both thought that I was extremely reserved, although Lars says, I knew that you had a tender heart. I knew that you were warm. But to this day, I can't satisfy his, mm-hmm, ambition for me to be a typical warm-hearted, open-hearted,
chatty,
outgoing Southerner. I can't be a Southerner.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I try. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a difference in you.
Well, we lived for 9 years in Mississippi, and the church that we went to there really were very hospitable the first few years we were there and made us feel very much at home. And I think I developed some pretty good friendships there, and that helped me to become more of a chatty person. And I had to give up my own desire. For a while, I thought that I could only have spiritual conversations with people, that I just couldn't stand to talk just about trivia, getting your hair done, or going and buying stuff. And I had to give up that idea. That my father-in-law, Walt's father, helped me to see that one time. He said, you know, it's a way of giving yourself to other people to be able to talk on their level and to talk just about anything that they'd like to talk about. And I think I began to learn that in Mississippi, and I'm thankful for our experiences there. I even began to talk with a southern accent. I'm thankful that people were such friendly, outgoing people there, and I learned a little bit more about that, and especially more of hospitality when we were in those 9 years in Mississippi.
I can remember streams of people coming into your kitchen after your baby was born, for example.
Yes.
Bringing food and bringing presents. And yes. What did they call those little presents?
Happies.
Little happies. Uh-huh. Oh, here's just a little happy.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they would give you a little happy that had nothing to do with right. any particular occasion, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
That's a Southern custom. And I'm sure that both of us have learned quite a bit about Southern hospitality from our husbands. Just another example of the fact that we are blessed when we submit to our husbands mm-hmm. and when we seek to please them rather than constantly thinking that they don't understand me and I'm not consoled when I need to be consoled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My husband doesn't support me and encourage me the way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
The more I support and encourage him, the more I find my own needs met.
Right.
And
yes.
that is a secret of marriage, isn't it? And of every other human relationship.
Yes, God blesses us with more love as we seek to be obedient to him in loving others.
I remember one of the mottos in Amy Carmichael's room in South India. It was a quotation, I believe, from St. Augustine, "By love is another kindled."
Mm-hmm.
And our mm-hmm. love will be like a spark that sets another person's heart aflame
mm-hmm.
with love. Well, once again, thank you, Valerie, for being with us.
I'm glad to have been here.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.